News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So, okay, let's go back and finish up this section of the Triple Dipper. By the way, I ran long with Terry Collins intentionally because I didn't want to, I wanted to get through as much of that as we could. And I knew it'd be almost impossible to ask her to hold on through a break and then come back. So I've got a whole stack of stuff. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get to it all. We'll just take our time. But listen, we're back on this part of the Triple Dipper. You heard it kind of segued. I mean, Representative Collins was the sponsor of the bill that is at the centerpiece of abortion law in the state of Alabama. Now, within that, you know, concept of that conversation we just had, I will say this. State Senator Chris Elliott, pretty good dude, serves down in South Alabama. State Senator Chris Elliott, as reported on 1819 News by Jeff Poor, actually, he says that he would oppose adding any exceptions. So there's a member, of the Senate caucus saying, don't come back and try to amend this bill. We're not going to do it. That's his opinion. Now, I will say this, House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter, who is actually running to be the Speaker of the House, just so you know, he has already said, we'll jump into session and take care of this right away. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. He indicated the House would be prepared to act immediately. There's nothing to act on, Representative Ledbetter. There's nothing to act on. We have a law. So, State Senator Chris Elliott, where's this part of the article that quotes him? During an appearance on Mobile Radio's FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show, State Senator Chris Elliott said he would oppose changes, calling the law, quote, a very courageous and absolute view on when life begins. And I agree. He said, I think the state legislature has taken a very courageous and absolute view on when life begins, and we have said that it is at that conception, regardless of how that conception occurs. That is controversial, and that is something the incrementalists of the world would like to say, well, hold on. You know, with certain circumstances, we should make things different. He said, I don't agree with that. And I think the Alabama legislature has taken a very courageous stand. It's one of the most definitive anti-abortion laws in the United States. And I think it's something that, you know, they're not going to go back on and tweak, in my opinion. I agree with State Senator Chris Elliott. Great comments. So that being said, here's a thought. Storyline came off of justthenews.com. Not getting a lot of press that I've seen. JustTheNews.com, dated yesterday. Mississippi governor, that's directly to our west, in case you didn't know your geography. Mississippi governor signs Pregnancy Resources Act into law, offering tax credits. What is this? Well, what Mississippi is doing is saying, you know, Mississippi's law is the one that is at the centerpiece of overturning Roe, we believe, according to the leaked SCOTUS opinion. So Mississippi is saying, but we're not just sitting idly by. We're not going to say, you know, don't do this. This is what I would suggest the Alabama legislature should consider. Tax credits to Mississippi businesses and individuals who are engaged in providing pregnancy resources is the focus of a new law Governor Tate Reeves has signed. Signed House Bill 1685, known as the Pregnancy Resource Act, which provides $3.5 million in tax credits to pregnancy resource centers around the state. It basically is being done to say, if you're going to support pregnant women, if you're going to support them with the assets they need, the resource centers, and he's partnering with the Dave Thomas Foundation to improve foster care and upgrading the core functions to better serve moms and children of the state government. He said, under the new law, tax credits are made available to taxpayers who operate a business as a commercial, industrial, or professional venture. And he says, and taxpayers who are not operating as corporations, they can have a tax credit against their ad valorem taxes on real property. And basically what he's saying is, we're gonna do what we can to help take care of pregnant women. And if someone is carrying a child that our state law says they couldn't abort, we're going to do all we can to support them in the process. That, in my opinion, is the right way to go. That's where it needs to be. And I'm just telling you, we cannot turn down the road of mitigating the best abortion law in the nation because people are feeling pressured. What we need to do instead is say, and we're going to be there for you if you wind up carrying that child to term. We're going to make our adoption laws better. We're going to wind up making our resource letters better, and we'll be right back after this break. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So yeah, we just spent a pretty good bit of time. Really, if you get down to it, all of that was kind of like First Amendment slash abortion law all in one. Number one, the triple dipper, I called it pro-life protest. I did have my monologue there just on the First Amendment, but I include some issues about how far you can go. And then, of course, we had Representative Terry Collins on to talk about the fact that, you know, there's been some question as to whether or not the legislature may, and I called it buyer's remorse, which she didn't, you know, she I don't say she took issue with it, but she didn't agree that it's buyer's remorse. It's just that they're looking now at whether or not that's the one that they want to have stand. Well, I'm thinking that you should have thought of that before you passed it. I mean, that's what the legislative process was for, right? To make sure that you're passing the law that you stand by. And it just seems a little bit odd to me to come back. Now, granted, I'll say this. Every time we go into the legislative process in a legislative session, I was down there for 8 years. When you're down there, I would bet that probably 15% or more of what you do every year is amendments to prior legislation. Sometimes it's because you recognized an effect that had not been anticipated, or you find a conflict in the law you have to resolve, or for that matter, the times have changed and you've got to update things because it's using archaic language or whatever. All that to say, this ain't that. This was just passed. It is the law, despite the fact it's been enjoined, it is the law on the books. And if Roe is overturned, we're ready. Why they would see a need to go and amend it, the only reason why they could do that is because there's been some level of remorse over passing a strict law. That's all there is to it. There's nothing else. You can't say that there's a different reason for doing so. Copper, you had before I switch the gears here, you had a question on the board a minute ago. What was that about?
Oh, that's right. A lady from my church who is also a Right Side ruffian asked if you have any resources that could help break down who's on the ballot, you know, something that's not an ad from the candidate, and she wanted to be able to inform people at our church of who's who in these elections.
Yeah, wow, appreciate that. Great question. So tell your Right Side ruffian friend from church, thank you, first of all, for being in the audience. But secondly, So I checked with 1819 to see if they were going to be doing a guide to the candidates per se, like, you know, here's who they are, where they're from, what they do, that kind of thing, how long they've been in the legislature. Now, I will tell you this, the Alabama Policy Institute has just released its latest scorecard. This almost feels like you just kind of set me up for that. But that's not, I mean, we haven't even gotten into the scorecard on the air yet, but the scorecard has just been released. You can see last year's scorecard, which is still attached to my rightsideradio.org website. The new scorecard is available at API's website, Alabama Policy Institute, which is alabamapolicy.org. And that one tells you things like, how did they vote on certain key legislation? What is their attendance like? Are they voting to raise your taxes? Are they Republican or Democrat? Did they, you know, that kind of thing. But that's only for the state legislature. That's it. That's not going to define the broader, like, U.S. Senate. And so I tell you what, Copper, we need to do some research on this. I don't have a ready source that covers everything that someone might see on their ballot. But I will take a look and see what I can find, because I'm already being asked left and right by people. Hey, Phil, tell me what you're going to do. How are you going to vote? Well, I'm not supposed to do that. My board, Right Side, by the way, is run. I have a board that I answer to, all of it. We're an independent operation here, and we've chosen not to make endorsements and do that kind of thing. So I have to be selective in what I say and do. So there, it's hard to say. You just hamstrung the guy who speaks all the time, but I'm hamstrung to some degree. Did that not help you?
There's work to be done, basically.
There's work to be done, Copper.
Yep.
We got to do some work. All right, listen. Top of the hour, we're going to have Copper and the Birdman. One of my favorite times every single week. I mean, these two are solid, sharp, and they do what they do to keep the show running every single day. And they are much appreciated. However, they also have opinions. Lots of opinions, I've noticed, and they're usually pretty good at expressing them. So Copper and the Birdman is a segment we do once a week where we get them on the air. And, oh, yeah, and Copper, don't forget, we got that special sound effect for Copper and the Birdman.
Yep.
So get that one ready. All right, listen, I'm going to do a little bit here while I got some time. Number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it, What Kind of Politics Do We Want? Well, I found just a few interesting articles. One's by a guy named Wayne Allen Root. Wayne Allen Root, with the initials WAR, W-A-R, Wayne Allen Root is a right-wing conservative kind of guy, a podcast guy, who's an author. Anyway, he wrote a piece that I found that came out just yesterday. It's called Meet the Greatest GOP Salesman in History. Looking at it right here. He says he's been a Republican for a long, long time. He's 60 years old. He says he's been a true blue Republican for 57 years. So basically since he's 3 years old. That's okay. I can't say I've been politically active since three. He said it started in 1964 when he was 3 years old in his father's arms in Mount Vernon, New York, handing out campaign flyers for Barry Goldwater. Wow, that's pretty interesting. So he knows the GOP. He says, this is his point. He says, some argument could be made that my hero, former President Ronald Reagan, is the greatest GOP or Republican salesman of all time. He says, Reagan made America prosperous again. He single-handedly turned a generation of young Americans into proud Republicans, and everyone loved Reagan. Then he goes on to say, a strong argument can also be made for former President Donald J. Trump as the greatest GOP salesman of all time. He's a born salesman, a showman, an entertainer. All Trump did was pull off the greatest upset in presidential history, beating Hillary Clinton. And he says Trump topped that off in 2020 by actually getting the most votes of any Republican in history. He said no one has ever come close to adding 11 million new votes like he did. All right, so is Trump the greatest GOP salesman? Then he goes on to say, and here's the kicker. You ready for the plot twist? He said, but still, I'd argue that Trump is not the greatest GOP salesman in history either. That honor belongs to President Joe Biden. Catch you off guard? Okay. He says, never has anyone in history done a better job of turning the whole country into Republicans. That could be because in less than 18 months as a president, Biden has turned the greatest country in the world history into a combination of basket case and dumpster fire. Now, he goes on down. He talks about all the things that we complain about on the show on a regular basis. Immigration, the economy, things like, energy independence, how we handle foreign policy, yada, yada, on and on. But here's the deal. He points out, he says, this is kind of a culminating event in his article here. He said, the latest polls show three remarkable, never-before-imagined developments. Number one, many Latinos have moved away from being lifelong Democrats, creating a double-digit GOP lead. That's interesting. He says, number two, parents with children under age 18 are now supporting the GOP by a 21-point landslide. He says, Biden has turned liberal mothers into GOP mama bears. Number three, he says, even young people are becoming Republicans. Biden's ratings are lower among young Americans than any other age group, which is stunning. He goes on to say, thanks, Joe, you're the best. All right, so what do we want? So if we've got a president right now that is driving people to Republican politics, then you have to look at it and go, huh, okay. So if more and more people want to become Republicans, you know what that does bring, though? It brings with it the things that made them not Republicans, which might make them soft Republicans, if you know what I mean. And I'm not saying don't come in. I've got a book on my shelf that I love. It's called Big Tent. And it's the story of the conservative movement and how we were going to embrace so many people like the Reagan Democrats. And we can be very effective at showing people, you know, the way that Republicans believe and what we want to do. Reagan did that. Trump did that. And I agree. But Joe Biden's actions are driving people to that. So when they get here, what do we want to have happen, though? Another piece that I got off the Gateway Pundit. Gateway Pundit, you know, for all its warts and blemishes, every once in a while you find a cool article there. The Gateway Pundit, a guy named Jim Hoft, gives an exclusive excerpt out of Peter Navarro. Now, Peter Navarro was an advisor to President Trump, so he's obviously a Trump guy. So it's somewhat skewed. I mean, somewhat. It's a lot skewed. But he goes on to say in this book, Peter Navarro's latest book, the book is called No Rhinos Allowed. I'm sorry, I'll take it back. He says, Taking Back Trump's America, Why We Lost the White House, How We'll Win It Back. He has a section called No Rhinos Allowed. Rhino spelled R-I-N-O, Republican in name only. And he said, No Rhinos Allowed must be our Capitol Hill battle cry. He said, we need to insist on the forced retirement of Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell. The only way these two leaders of the Rhino Pack have made their way up the greasy pole of congressional leadership, his words, has been by raising massive campaign contributions from the very same globalist corporate interests intent on taking down Donald Trump. Okay, let's find some type of middle ground here. And when I say middle ground, it's not like I'm saying I really want Mitch McConnell to stay in office. I'm not at all. Don't misinterpret. But here's the thing. There are a variety of different ways to be both a Republican and a Democrat. Because the brand of Republican or the brand of Democrat, while it may carry with it some bylaws on the party's, you know, platform, the truth of the matter is, it is made up of people who come in from different angles. And if you have a party that at one point was filled with Reagan Democrats who became Reagan Republicans, and if you have right now millennials who had been for Joe Biden who have been driven away by his policies to become Republicans, and if you also have the base who has been there all along, and then you have those who, you know, are far more on the right side of politics, like me. I was a Tea Party guy. I was endorsed by the Tea Party when I ran in 2010. If you have that viewpoint mixing with the others, it may be that you got a pretty big tent. Well, I'm going to tell you about an article that I pulled just today off of NPR. Yes. Yes, I went to NPR. Yes, I did. This one seems to imply, according to a Pew Research Center study, that there's a variety of different, maybe 9 different categories where you may fall on the political spectrum. Copper, let's go ahead and take a break. Move us to the break. We'll come right back and jump into that one. Story on NPR titled, Feel Like You Don't Fit in Either Political Party? Here's why. Tell our caller to hang on to, Copper. We got to take a break. Be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Coming up in a few minutes, top of the hour, we're going to have Copper and the Birdman, one of my favorite segments of every single week. Hey, listen, so I was talking about the fact that, you know, number two in the triple dipper here, what kind of politics do we want? Well, okay, if we've got people being driven to the Republican Party by Biden policies, if we've got a candidate potentially in Donald Trump again, or someone like him who is, you know, someone who, you know, inspires and draws people in, then I would hazard a guess that we're going to have more people in the fold, if you know what I mean. More people voting on the Republican ticket. I've got an article here from NPR that I'm going to go into in more detail. It says, feel like you don't fit in either party? Here's why. And it lists a series of different groups that it believes, you know, after a Pew Research study was done, that people actually fall into. Now, basically, it'll tell you Republicans tend to fall in this category, but there's a few of them that are what I would call bipartisan. It's an interesting article. I'm not sure I agree with everything in it. It breaks them down in what they call, number one, faith and flag conservatives. Then number two is committed conservatives. Then there's the populist right. Then there's the ambivalent right. Then there's the stressed sideliners, who I guess sit in the middle. Then there's the outsider left, the Democrat mainstays, the establishment liberals, and the progressive left. Yeah, it's interesting. I got a caller. I'm going to go ahead and grab that real quick because I know he called back after a break. So let me just do that, and then we'll see if we can get to this article. Line three, Nikki from Tuscaloosa. Nikki, how you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Williams?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I actually wanted to talk about Mike Durant today.
Well, I'm not sure we're going to just talk about Mike Durant, but what you got?
Well, in any event, why I want to do it is about what they're doing, what we're seeing on TV, what we're seeing these ads, and it's not just about Mike Durant. It's also what they're doing to Katie Britt also. All of these like this rhino, Alabama rhino pack that comes out with all these, you know, accusations that are really not true.
Well, you know, they did the same thing to Mo Brooks. They said that Mo Brooks voted for any number of things that he hadn't voted
for.
They
do it to everybody. That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, they're really doing it to everybody. But I'm supporting Durant, and I know him, and I've been following him, and I know all this stuff's not true, and I know a lot of the stuff about Katie Britt's not true. You know, the real issue with me is that I want to try to get the best person in office that we can get. You know, I heard you talking about factions. There's so many factions out here. Matter of fact, it's almost sickening that some of these people, well, I was listening this morning, you know, this lady was talking about how if you're a black Republican, there's something wrong with you.
Oh,
or
if
you're a black female Republican, there's something wrong with you. Or even if you're just a conservative.
I'd say she has her priorities mixed up.
You know.
Well, Hey, Nikki, we're going to run out of time here, man, because I'm at the top of the hour break coming up here in about a minute and a half. What are you leaning towards right now? You're of the mind that all negative campaigning is not worth it, or what are you saying? At some point you got to vote within the party you've chosen, and then within the party you've chosen, there's different types of Republicans. So what drew you to Mike Durant per se?
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to see Mike Durant become our senator. That's what I'd like to see.
So okay. And my question to you is, and I respect that. I'm glad you've chosen your candidate, because some folks are still working that out. But that being said, tell me why. What is it about Mike Durant's candidacy that led you to vote for him, or to plan to vote for him before Mo Brooks or Katie Britt?
Well, first of all, I was a veteran.
Okay.
I was also kind of in the same field that Mike was in.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I was leaving Fort Rucker when he was coming down there. I know a lot about what the man went through as far as his war record and that kind of thing. And a lot of people don't even realize that Mike did a whole lot after Mogadishu.
Hey, Nikki. Hey, Nikki, I hate it, man, but the music's playing. That means my break is upon us, brother. But thank you. Why don't you call back again some more time? But I'm glad you've got your candidate, and not everybody can. And, folks, I'm telling you, one of those three is going to be your next U.S. senator. Nikki's already chosen his. I encourage the rest of y'all, dig deep, figure out what you can, which one of those Republicans is the kind of Republican you want. All right, listen, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We're going right now to a break, coming back with Copper and the Birdman. And then maybe I'll get back to this NPR article. How about that? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.